New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was instantly healed. This is the word of our Lord. There are many questions in life. Questions like, what should we major in college? What style house should we buy? What model vehicle should we purchase? Should we have kids or no kids? Dog or no dog? There are other questions in life that plague our human mind as well. And that question is, who's in and who's out? Am I the insider or am I the outsider? And everybody yearns to be the insider. In Hollywood, every actor or actress or musician or entertainment mogul yearns to be on the Hollywood A-list. They want to be invited to these big, elaborate celebrity parties. And if you're not on the A-list, then you're who's out, and everyone knows it. The same is true for the sports industry. Every athlete yearns to make the cut. They want to be on the team and drafted. They want it more than anything to be the next who's in at the pro level. For middle schoolers and high schoolers, the same question plagues their young adolescent minds. Who's in and who's out? They want to be liked. They want to be popular. They want to be invited to the parties. The cheerleader yearns to make the varsity team. The volleyball player wants to make the cut. The football player hopes not to be second string. They all want to be the insider and considered who's in. The same question of who's in and who's out has made its way into our religion as well. The question is, who's included in heaven and who is excluded from heaven? It's a topic of controversy amongst theologians for many, many years, and it's plagued the minds of Christians for centuries. During late medieval times, Christians were wrought with fear and anxiety about salvation. They spent their time and their energy analyzing whether they were going to be considered who's in and received into heaven. They spent their days scrutinizing other people's actions, determining if their behaviors were pious enough to earn them a seat in heaven. The famous theologians Martin Luther and John Calvin combated this widespread salvific angst of the medieval times with their doctrine of predestination. Both of them supported the notion that the kingdom of God is completely predestined and entirely up to God's will. Luther and Calvin believed that predestination was rooted in God's choice of the elect. They also made the claim that it was completely useless and a waste of time for people to try and figure out who was going to make it into heaven and who wasn't, because there was no real way of determining that answer. So they encouraged Christians to relish the grace that had been extended to them, to rejoice in that good news. Calvin and Luther's admonishment for Christians to not waste their time in trying to figure it out who was in and who was out was good advice. It is a question that can cause strife and unwarranted stress to no avail. But some of our earliest church fathers had some sage insight about this topic as well. Origen and Gregory of Nyssa, they were our early church fathers of the 2nd and 3rd century. And they believed that the salvation was for all people and directed Christians that were wrestling with this question of who was going to inherit the kingdom of God and who wasn't to read these passages which pointed towards universal salvation. They encouraged people to focus on these texts that depicted God as a God who accepted all of his children. And our passage from Isaiah this morning is one of those passages. It is a passage that depicts our God as lovingly wrapping his arm around all of his children and welcoming all of them. It is a passage where God states his house is to be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The original audience of this passage in Isaiah consisted of three groups of people: the exiles from Babylon and beyond, the Jews who had been left behind because they were not important enough or wealthy enough to be included in this exile, and it included the other powerless non-Jews and the foreigners. So in this passage, God is doing something completely new, something that he had never done before, and that is that he is gathering all these people together. He gathers the chosen elites of Israel who are returning from exile. He gathers the foreigners, the outcasts, the eunuchs, everyone that had been excluded from the covenant with him previously. It is a radical new definition of who's in and who's out, and it's a snapshot where all are joyfully welcomed. There is, however, one small caveat to this joyful welcome. This warm welcome from God calls for a response from those he is welcoming. One must respond by loving the Lord, keeping the covenant, by seeking justice and doing what is right. In other words, it means living in a certain way. It meant one was to do good and seek justice, which included pleading for the widow, caring for the oppressed, defending the orphan. Essentially, it meant joyfully welcoming all people in just the same way that God had joyfully welcomed each and every single one of them. Now, this passage may have been written in a particular time and written in order to gather the chosen Israelites with the foreigners and the outcasts and those that were never included in the covenant with God before. But this message remains relevant to our lives today. We are all God's children. We have all been joyfully welcomed by God. God's loving welcome is not just confined to those of us that are gathered in this church this morning. And it's not just confined to Christians that are gathered around churches throughout the world. God's joyful welcome includes all people in and throughout the world. It includes every race and every ethnicity. It includes every denomination or faith tradition. It includes the foreigners and the outcasts of our modern day era. God joyfully welcomes all people. And in response, we are to joyfully welcome them and all people in just the same way. From time to time, I receive phone calls or emails, and I hear comments about the fact that we have a homeless gentleman who sometimes sleeps on our front stairs outside of the church here. And the main heart of this issue and the complaint is that it's a bad look for the church, that it's very distasteful and detracts from the beauty of this church to have a homeless person sleeping on our stairs. The suggestion is always that we should shoo this person away, ask them to go and make their bed elsewhere. As a church community, I think the last thing that we should be doing is shooing someone away, especially if the issue is that it's a bad look for the church. And beyond that, as children of God, as recipients of this grace that we have received, where God has joyfully welcomed all of us, then that means that we mirror that same grace, and we joyfully welcome each and every single person in this world in just the same way. As a church community and recipients of God's joyful welcome, our response in this situation should be to open the doors of our church, to welcome these people in. It would be absolutely wonderful if we could unlock the church doors and have anyone who is in need come and have a safe place to lay their head down, somewhere that is warm or dry and soft for them. Now, I am not saying that this is a possibility or that we are going to start doing this, but what I am saying is that there's two different kinds of responses here. There is a response where you shoo somebody away and you ask them to go and make their home somewhere else. And there's another response where you joyfully welcome them with the same grace and love that God has joyfully welcomed all of us with. This passage of Isaiah created a radical new definition of who's in and who's out during ancient biblical times. And it continues to paint an image for all of us of who's in and who's out. It's a vision where everyone is included. All people are gathered together and joyfully welcomed by God. And in response, we do the same thing, and we joyfully welcome them. In closing, I wanted to highlight one other beautiful message of this passage, and that is the gift of community. In this passage of Isaiah, God welcomed all of these groups of people, the elite, the foreigners, the outcasts, the eunuchs, all these people that had never been previously included in the covenant with him. And as he gathered these people together, it created a community for them. And joyfully welcoming them all, he established his house as a house of prayer for all people. He offered them a home, a place where they could go and be safe and where they weren't alone. His joyful welcome was the means for all people to be drawn together as one united family. So in just the same way as God has gathered all of us together in this space, it has created a community for each and every single one of us. It's created a home for us so that none of us have to go through life alone. And the beauty of this gift of community is that when we face difficult times in life and the struggles of life, then we have a community of people that we can lean on and depend on during those times. And when we experience the highs of life, the joys of life, like when we witness the sacrament of baptism in just a little bit, then we rejoice with each other and we celebrate those joyous times as a community. The gift of community is a wonderful thing, and it enriches our lives. Our passage from Isaiah this morning reminds us that God has joyfully welcomed all of us. And it's a reminder that we are to joyfully welcome everyone in this world. And may we all enjoy the gift of community that this creates for each and every single one of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.